Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I'm positively with the very tall and handsome Mark Viviano. We're here at Fadley Seafood in beautiful Lexington Market. I'm smelling the crab cakes. I'm smelling the deviled eggs. I'm smelling the French fries, and I'm getting a little hungry. It's lunchtime. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have the Raven Scratch-Offs. Excuse me. I'm out of season. Magic 8-Ball Scratch-Offs. The Raven Scratch-Offs were so yesterday. We're in the home run riches right now. We're giving these away down here this afternoon. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all month long if I don't lose my voice. Viv is here on behalf of all sorts of charities and all sorts of good things in his Little League. What's your Little League called? The Green Terrors? What are they called?
Green Hornets.
Green Hornets.
Severna Park Green Hornets.
That's funny. I said Green Terrors. Green Terror was a Cape Crusader, wasn't he?
He was one of the bad guys.
He was a terror. Of course he's a bad guy.
Bad guy.
Hornet was the good guy.
Green
right?
Hornet. Or Lantern. Wasn't there a...
Lantern?
Wasn't there a...
Remember the Riddler wore green. I remember that. He was a bad guy.
I don't know.
Good guys and bad guys. You're one of the good guys. Viv is here. He still likes me once a year. He says, once a year I'll come out for you and the crab cakes better be good. Take them home to my wife. He's doing Little League coaching for his 9- and 7-year-old. And are you off the grid? I mean, do you tweet? I don't know. You Facebook?
My only
Truman Show is over for you.
First of all, the only Facebook I ever do is just family, really. And as far as Twitter, I've made it a vow. If it's not positive or originally insightful, I have nothing to add.
You have no retweets. Okay.
Not really. I just...
You done being famous except for where it's valuable?
It's not even me thinking I'm famous. It's that I just... It can be stressful and it's unnecessary how... Things can be read, taken, attacked, pulled apart. It's like, it's just not worth it.
Did you like doing sports radio when you did it?
Yes, loved it. As a matter of fact, I loved it because...
I did too. When I took phone calls, I loved it. I stopped, right?
I mean, I could say this.
When you started doing it around when I hated it. Just so you know. Loved it the first time.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
And I want to say this carefully out of complete appreciation for everyone who listened. And one of the reasons I find your process and your shows appealing is that you have good guests and you don't have call-ins. And I don't want to disparage people who call into shows, but I'm just not that interested. I'd rather hear your guests. I'd rather speak to guests. And I think people like to hear from experts or someone with experience in a certain field, that if we do our job well, we learn something from them.
That's why I bring Luke on.
He's corrected me
3 times. Luke is now my fact checker.
He's, you know,
so that's why I keep Luke around to make sure I stay in line. You know?
Well, there are many reasons to keep Luke around, and Luke is one of the most popular.
Does Luke have to pee, or is he
hardworking?
Are you okay? You gonna come in?
This is
a walk on. We just started the segment, man.
That's perfect.
You're late. It's 101.
He's one.
I don't want to hijack your segment.
No, get in here, man.
Baltimore sports royalty, right?
No.
This is the guy. I have had so much respect for. I don't know, Ness. We talk about it a lot.
I love Luke too.
I mean, this guy. I know I'm speaking to the choir here, to your listeners and to your viewers. But I can say this as a guy who was in the trenches and in the locker rooms. And this guy is just solid. He is kind, hardworking, thorough, likable. He's all the things.
And he puts up with me. That's amazing.
That is the amazing part of this guy.
I told him.
Somehow you have not soiled him.
We're going to do radio at these odd hours. It's 6 in the morning and 2 at night. We're in Toronto. It's the fire alarm went off at 5:51 in the morning at the Sheraton in Toronto.
It did.
And I'm like, well, there's the wake-up call, but I don't know how we're going to do radio. This is literally Friday morning. So he and I have done a couple hundred nights in hotel rooms over 15 years at Super Bowls, spring training. So we have this whole thing, but we're rarely in the same room together.
Well, that's cool.
This is really unusual.
It is.
Let me say.
We only get together 4 or 5 times a year, and it's usually here.
It's the crab cake.
Now
it's the ball game two blocks away. Yeah.
And I'll just, as I'm literally between the two of you guys, I can share this as a media observer and consumer and former radio guy. What you two guys do as a team is that you are the emotional hair-on-fire tyrant with cause.
Tyrant?
This guy.
That's not a nice thing to say. I thought you were Midwestern.
And this guy, and this guy is just calm, careful, buttoned down, and just – he can just – so in other
words – he's less exciting.
No, he brings balance.
I agree with that.
He brings you know, and I can say when I did it, I was more.
I don't blush much on the radio. You're making me blush, Vin.
I was more like Luke when I did it, but it's always good to have your fire. Like, you're spitting nails over here, and he's like, "Well, I don't quite see it that way. I understand what you're saying, but." And then he'll bring it.
He spits nails with me over beers at the craft bar in Toronto. They give him a press credential, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's got to be careful, you know?
No, I think he's original. I really do. Listen, all of us will have different conversations when we're not mic'd up. All of us can share, you know, different points of view. But listen, it's still a job, and it's still there are still ramifications for everything we say and do. And you do well what you do. You're incredibly good at what you do. And so's this guy. And you do it differently, and that's the beauty of this medium. It's good. This is a good thing. I'm dishing out compliments here.
I'll take it. Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's all.
Very much so.
Mark Viviano's here. Luke is now on the set.
Late.
It's baseball season. I was going to say this if you hadn't walked up, so it's a great time to get you in. I went to opening day in Toronto as a fan. I went to opening day at the Orioles as a fan, and I walked around. You're in the press box. They moved you up in left field in Toronto, and I asked you if you walked around the stadium. You're like, nah, you know, I did BP and did work. I mean, we're all familiar with what that is. And I did the concourse, listening to fans, running into Oriole fans and friends of mine in Toronto. And then opening day here is such a special day that I, you know, you have your vision of working and putting the pass on and going and doing it in the morning. I have mine of starting here at 10:45 in the morning with Chris Foran, my buddy from Towson Torch. And we walk through seven bars and a bunch of different places and into the club level. Opening day is the greatest day in the city, again, to see people, to see friends, to walk around. People I only see on opening day. That's not the Preakness. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's opening day. And I think that inspires me in some way for what the new ownership can do. And I know it's going to be a little different tonight down here on game two, you know, from a crowd perspective. But it does – I'll use a little Deepak Chopra on you here, Viv and Luke. It's pure potentiality, as I would call it. You know, you see the potential, again, of what the Orioles can be. 2 years removed from 101 wins and the Angelos thing and Wes Moore doing the Papa wave that he's still mad with me about for some reason. And – a year removed from David Rubenstein buying the team and where we are in Angelos' death, they do have their own empty slate of orange that I saw on Monday. I don't know where it's going. And then they treated me, and I'll get into that. But they have a new thing to build from for his kids. He talks about his 9 and 7-year-old kids wanting to come to the games. Opening day is great in this city, and 2 days out from that, I experienced it. I went home. My wife said, "How did you do today?" I'm like, "I had the greatest day ever. Look on my timeline. Look at everybody I saw. Look at the people." Where else in one day was I going to run into that many people who I love, who love me, and share a moment on a 75-degree day? And if it was 45 and raining, it wouldn't have been that.
Yeah. It's funny. I was actually having this conversation with someone in the press box, albeit briefly. It wasn't an extensive talk. But you think about the Ravens and what they mean in this community, what the NFL means. I mean, it's king in American sports, and then there's everything else, right? I mean, let's just call a spade, even as baseball guys. But you think about that, and no matter how much enthusiasm there is for the Ravens every year with them in the playoffs playing in January, the home opener for the Ravens still does not have the same vibe as opening day for baseball. It just doesn't. It's you know, it's that cyclical feeling that you just mentioned. It begins again, talking about kids. You know, I was thinking about it in terms of, you know, well, my niece is getting ready to turn four. Are we going to try to get her to her first Orioles game this year? And it just has that different feel to it, that different vibe. You know, you sit in the press box and, you know, the sound system's better. You know, they upgraded the speakers. I could actually hear the PA announcer from the press box, which, you know, kind of sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher in recent years. But I was thinking about it in those terms of I could hear that, and now they have the in-game DJs. You know, they have the in-game MCs. Personally speaking, that's not really my cup of tea. At the same time, I'm thinking about it in terms of they're trying to get younger. Yeah. They're trying to get more diverse. If it has more of an NBA feel or an NFL feel or a indoor soccer feel, who am I to say that that's wrong? Because we've said for years as older baseball guys, we want the sport to continue to thrive long term. And if that's the case, then we've got to put up with
the organist isn't
going to
do it.
Yeah. Same thing with the City Connect uniforms, which I'm very much a traditionalist with, you know, home whites and road grays and maybe one alternate. But now you're seeing.
When are they wearing their pajamas? Is that next week?
That'll be next Saturday. They're going to wear their all orange.
All right.
So,
But is that the night before or after they give away the Rubenstein bobblehead?
I can't remember what the date is for that.
Check it out.
But you know, like, you just look at those things, and it is, you know, I was thinking back to going to games with my dad and how it felt then. But
opening day was special for all. We remember every opening day,
sure.
Right? I mean, you're an old son. You probably remember Cardinals opening day in the 70s. Or
Clydesdales.
Jay Gibbons in the snow. I mean, just any, you know, like anything, right? But, I mean, opening day is special. And Viv, you covered it for years and years. I mean, Marty and Don used to have me on opening day. It's part of the documentary I did where I would come down here and they would set up in the dugout and broadcast from the break of dawn on opening day back in the 90s. I mean, it was – that was part of local television. It was like a snow day for you guys, right?
Well, yeah, and it is. It's such a spectacle. It really is. And you've got all the TV stations, all the radio. You've got – we would do live shots at 5:30 in the morning in front of the dugout.
Grounds crews out, right?
Yeah. Well, and the guy with the food and the lemon shaky guy used to come down, Mark.
The late, great Mark.
Yeah. God bless his soul. So anyway, there's that. And I'll never forget this. B.J. Surhoff one time. He's at his locker. BJ, I love BJ, but you got to know what you're getting with BJ.
Always.
He's a surly dude. If you don't know him, you're wondering, what's wrong with this guy? So he's at his locker. It's opening day. And the locker room is packed with reporters.
Probably because Bill Clinton's there that day or something,
right?
Like
it might have been. But anyway.
Yeah, but all of that happened,
so
too.
So BJ's at his locker. He looks around. He goes, you guys will all be gone tomorrow. Let's get this over with. So for the players, it's the first of 6 months and 162 baseball games. For everybody else, the media and the fans, it's like, yes, this is awesome. Let's drink beer and go crazy. And they come back to work tomorrow, and BJ's right.
Yeah.
There's like your core of like eight reporters and about 15,000, 20,000 fans on a good Tuesday or Wednesday night, whatever. Because it's a long story. It's a long season. It's okay. We were talking earlier about these games, and the NFL has been dealing with this. These games are so accessible, and the TVs at home are so nice. To go down to a ballpark anywhere, and I'm not just talking Baltimore. I told them St. Louis, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Milwaukee. You look at the stands. They got 81 games. We'll go to one, especially if there's a bobblehead or a shirt or something. That's cool, but it's easy to stay home. That's the challenge, to get people actually in the seats. And that's why you see the things you do, not just the rule changes, but just the entertainment, all of it. Giving away, you know, the food has been made more affordable, less expensive, because people would complain. I can't take my kids to a game. They want this many hot dogs and this many, you know, cotton candies and peanuts. Make it affordable, you know, just, and they're doing it just to get you in there because they want customers for generations.
Well, Monday was a great experience. And, I'm just saying
I'm not saying there's
not a great experience. The lines were bad. They had functional issues that they've always had. But from being at the ballpark and the vibe of being there and the sound inside the stadium when when good things happen, we're in a point for all of our lifetimes, and you spent 30 years in the media here, team wasn't very good. You know what I mean? Like, there weren't a whole lot of reasons to go. And when we start talking about Brooks Robinson and even Cal Ripken's 25 years ago now, they have a product. And what they do with it will be judged by me. It'll be judged by you and your community. He's got a little league with like 160 kids between like 8 and 10 playing.
That's awesome.
So, like, awesome. Those kids
and everybody
will be
tells
the judgment
me it's all about lacrosse. It's like, where do all these baseball players come from? They love baseball.
Yeah. They got to keep them. They have to draw them in. And, you know, I've talked so much with Nestor about in-market streaming. I'm 41. My generation is like the last one holding on to cable and satellite. And you think about 30-somethings now who have kids, they're not subscribing to Xfinity or DirecTV as frequently as our parent, you know, as we did and our parents did. It's, you know, they need to cast as wide a net as possible to get those youngsters watching games with their mom or their dad or their uncle, mm-hmm. and not just playing it on the field, which obviously is amazing, but to actually start following the sport and start.
Well,
having that
one
same
of the problems
passion.
Is you went to the game Thursday and you had the press credential Thursday and Friday. I paid to get in Thursday in Toronto. Friday night, I'm like, I'm 6 blocks away. Do I want to pay and go to the game or not? And I had a blister on my heel. I knew I was going to spend all day Monday. It's inside. And I was like, I don't feel like being at the – I was at the ballpark 12 hours at Sky Dome on Thursday. And I'm like, well, I'll just watch the game. And I'm like – and I went out to happy hour, and I struck up conversation with the bartenders out in Toronto. Like, the game's not on anywhere tonight. And I'm thinking, oh, the game's not on in Baltimore either.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and the second game of the year, if you're out in Baltimore on Friday night, if you're out anywhere in Toronto, a big metropolitan city, the game's not even on. I mean, that's really problematic. And if Katie Griggs were standing here, as she should, and talked to me, like, they should be thinking about that and what they're doing in restricting the game. Because your kids love the game, but if they want it on Friday night, you don't want to buy Apple TV, or what? If you're out of state, if they're streaming, creating fans is the glue. My mom at the end of her life had problems with Masson 1 and Masson 2. Yeah. That's an easy problem. I mean, you know, why the Nationals on tonight? You know, whatever. But just making it so easy. And Luke was watching the game on his laptop. We were in Buffalo. I told him the story about the young man in Buffalo whose father we dined with last week. Luke had the game on at the airport watching it. And I'm like, man, that's an incredible picture you're getting on a stream at an airport.
Even with my dirty
Wi-Fi.
Screen.
Even, yeah, which I offered to clean a screen. But, you know, Luke's into it and brings it with him. I'd like to think that if I'm driving to Ocean City on a Friday night for a game and my wife's driving in the car, I can listen to BAL. But I'd like to be able to think I can watch the game anywhere I want, anytime I want on this, and not have it be a decision for or like a taxi meter that every time I want to watch the game, because I sat in the hotel room on Friday and I did not watch Friday night's game. Yeah. I watched the pitch cast. I had MLB TV on in my hotel room. They were showing me the Pirates and the Marlins. I'm in Canada, dude.
Yeah.
The hockey game's on. And the hockey game's on. And the hockey game's on. And the Raptors are on. And college basketball was on. And I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a Toronto in Toronto, well, I don't need a baseball game tonight. You
think
know
about
I mean?
This. And we talked about how there's 162 of these games that are parsed out over regional sports networks and these other carriers. That's 162. In the NFL, guys, we've seen it. They've gone to Amazon Prime. They've gone to Netflix. They've gone to Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not watch a playoff game last year that I wanted to watch because I would have to have subscribed to Peacock. That's the NFL. That is the king of kings here when we're talking
but
sports.
But the consumers are going to talk with their legs.
Well,
they always do.
I did. It was like
well, Thursday night football is his thing. He's about to go into it. I can look at it.
Right. I mean, and this goes right with what Viv just said. We have this culture on social media, and you know, that's a given of complaining about things. You know, whether it's justified or not. But all you hear as sports fans over the last decade has been complaining about how bad the Thursday night football product is. Everyone watches it.
Yeah.
At some point in time, and you spoke as a consumer. You didn't watch it.
I watched it.
And really, that's what it boils down
to. I went to Hollywood Casino on a Saturday. I mean, it was 8 o'clock. The Chiefs and the Dolphins put a playoff game 2 years ago. Yeah. I didn't
watch it.
But you just view it through that lens where it's just, look, same thing with any establishment, their prices, right? I mean, if it's too expensive for you, you don't go there and eat, right?
And then you may never go back. That's my point.
My point is
if I had a great time at Open DI, I want to go back, right? So anyway, keep going. I'm sorry.
But the problem, you know, specifically with streaming, and Thursday Night Football is into this, baseball is into, I mean, it's all the sports. Mm-hmm. The NBA is getting ready to roll out their new TV deal. There's a lot of streaming involved with that, as they're going to be off TNT and they're going to be on other outlets. But the fact of the matter is, if enough people do subscribe to their bottom line and their profit is going to be, that's going to make the owners happy. Now, we've talked about that in baseball. They've been so short-sighted in terms of trying to maximize every penny they can get in the here and now. I think it's been detrimental to the long-term health of the sport, as we've talked about baseball being older. But I'd love to sit here and say, oh, yeah, don't do Apple TV. You know, don't do Peacock. I think it's naive to think that it won't be. But what they need to do, and this is why I've said, you need to have an in-market streaming option. Like, Masson needs to be something that someone can pay $20 a month and access. You're seeing it around baseball. It's $20 to $30 a month. Maybe the Dodgers are $35.
And you only have to buy it the 6 months?
Yeah, you can do that.
So it's $120 a season?
Or you can buy it for a full year and they discount it and they can get some extra revenue that way. But, you know, figuring out that price point that, you know, and I say this to you all the time. We have to remember, we cover this as our livelihood. We watch every game because it's our livelihood.
He doesn't anymore,
right.
Thank God.
And full disclosure, there are Friday night games I don't watch because, you know, if they're on the road and I'm not at the ballpark, I'm probably watching a movie or hanging out with friends or something like that. But you just – everything we just mentioned, you have to make it as accessible as possible. You have to cast as wide a net as possible. You have to – it shouldn't disappear from cable and satellite, though, because you don't want to alienate your 70-year-old
fans
either.
Friday nights, I'm going to hang out with my friends instead. Anytime in my lifetime I've hung out with my friends on Friday night in this city, the game's been on.
Sure.
Wherever I am, the game was accessible. Right.
But it's really – it needs to be there. I mean, the beauty of baseball, and this is what Viv was just talking about a few minutes ago, about how opening day is – this extravagant event that means so much to so many different people in this city and other baseball cities around the country, but then the season settles in the day after. And yeah, you're not going to have everyone glued to the TV that night, and you're not going to have 45,000 people at the ballpark that night, but it's always there. You know, it's comforting, you know, whether your life is going great or whether you've going through some tough times, and baseball is just something that's there. I mean, for a baseball fan, I think that's the beauty of the sport, because they do play every day. You know, not to sound overly romantic about it.
Every time I was going through tough times, I was wishing routine. I was a Yankees fan.
But it's routine. It's there. It's there if you need it, if you really need it, if you want to watch it, or you might not watch it that night, and that's okay as well. But yeah, you want to have it accessible. That way, when people do want to watch it, you're not making them jump through hoops in order to do it.
Yep. Viv, what do you think of the pitching? Let's go. Come on, let's talk some baseball here.
Nobody has enough.
I want to sucker you into it.
Nobody.
That's what he says.
Nobody does. Like, we concentrate on the local teams. I do this with the Orioles, and I do this with the Ravens, and I did it professionally for a number of years. We panic when we look solely at what you have. Once you fan out and say, well, pretty much everybody's dealing with the exact same thing, and it's going to be about your ability to weather the adversity that you have that everybody else has too. How do you adjust to that? What is your minor league feeder system going to bring up to fill the holes when Colton Cowser breaks his thumb sliding into first base? What do you got? What do you have when you've got numerous pitchers down with shoulder, elbow, whatever? Every team's got it. I mean, the Yankees' top two starters are gone. They're done this year.
Then they're not the Yankees anymore.
Well, they went out and got more starters, didn't they?
Well, so, we got Kyle Gibson soon, maybe. Yeah.
But, my point is your problems are probably just a mirror of everybody else's. How are you going to deal? We'll see.
Journalism side of the Justin Tucker thing for you, and I mean, you've already said if you were still at the fan taking phone calls, you'd be talking about this. Where are you in Severna Park, out with family, sports guy, doing what you do? You do a lot of charity. Do people talk to you about the Justin Tucker thing? And on the back end of Ray Rice, and you covered all of that, I'm assuming you were at the press conference.
Oh, yeah.
All of that. Where do you lie on all of that a decade later? And you know, seeing what the media's become. I've been thrown out, the Tucker thing, how press conferences are handled, how Sashi Brown is doing his song and dance in Florida a couple days ago, and Bisciotti's doesn't do anything anymore. I mean, the bar has lowered dramatically for zero tolerance when Ben Cleveland's out blowing a, you know, a double deuce and getting signed a couple weeks later, and Tucker's still on their team right now. I mean, I said to Luke, and this is the first week I've turned a little bit, they might keep him. They might keep him. I mean, they might weather the storm, as you said earlier, because he's going to kick for somebody again in this league.
Right.
He's not done kicking.
I would just say my take on this is, as reporters, commentators, whatever role you have in the media, you have questions, you want answers, and you want them now. It's the third of those that I listed, you want them now, that they don't have an answer now. And I can understand that from their point of view. What is their rush to kick him off the team if he has come out publicly to say, I didn't do this? Now, the evidence would suggest something untoward happened. The evidence clearly suggests that. But you can't get rid of him on a suggestion. There has to be a thorough investigation. Is it taking long? Yes. Is it taking longer than many people wish it would? Maybe so. But it's still got to happen. You got to let this happen. You can't just, I understand. There is a vindictive nature of even the hint of him doing this, he should be done with. It's like, you can't do that. I understand the emotion. I understand the gravity of the allegation, but you have to let them find out exactly what it was and then move forward. So it's good to ask questions. It's good to want answers, but you can't get them when we want them because they're going to tell you when they know. And they may know now and they're holding back. I don't know, but it's their entity. They do control it.
Do you trust an NFL investigation at this point? I do not.
That's fair.
As a matter of fact, given my circumstance as a media member who was treated the way I was treated, that's all on the record, they were to call me, I don't know that I trust them to even talk to them. You know what I mean? Based on the Daniel Snyder situation and based on oral reports and based on John Gray, I do not. I trust if they found the Jeffrey Epstein files that they would cover it up. I don't find that they would be forthcoming about anything because that's not been my experience with the National Football League.
It's fair to be skeptical. But that's all we have, right? We have their investigation unless you, like the Banner did some hard digging and some, that's real work they did. Now, the allegations out there, there's not a criminal charge as of now or anything of that nature. So all we have is that investigation that you don't trust.
I think
that's
exactly
all we have,
what you're right? saying is what John Harbaugh will say the day they say Justin Tucker's still our kicker. Because they can, like, everything you've just pointed out, they can. There's no evidence, there's no this, there's he said, there's she said.
Yeah.
Our investigation turned up, you know, scant actual, there's no validity. He's going to kick for somebody. I mean, I've just, for somebody in the league, he's not done. And maybe not sure, should he be at this point? I don't even know the crimes and misdemeanors part of this a decade later.
Right.
I just know it's a really sticky circumstance for them, and they haven't handled these well in the past. And that's the part where when journalists aren't invited in, when they've taken the tack they've taken after Ray Rice with the ownership and leadership. I said to him the other day, I've loved the Ravens. You've known me since the Ravens got here. You knew me before the Ravens got here. I wanted to love them. I embraced them. I love them. They do things that make it very difficult for me as a journalist, as a fan, as a PSL holder, as a person who's invested millions of dollars and thousands of hours in them. Yeah, they make me ashamed of them sometimes. You know, they really do. And I say that out loud. They make me ashamed of my own book. I wrote a book about their character and their integrity. I stand a little ashamed of that when these things happen because I do feel like the zero tolerance thing, it's a front, and I do feel like they would have him back to kick, even if maybe they knew he did a few bad things, but they weren't that bad, and we need to kick
him. Yeah, I think we'll find. We're going to find out. And I think your personal experience is different than mine in terms of I haven't run a radio station, been dependent upon a certain, I have been dependent upon a certain amount of cooperation and access. I have needed that, but that's never been questioned based on.
All I've asked is what everybody else gets.
I understand.
He gets access, I don't. That's not fair.
Well,
got access, I did. That's not fair.
No.
Like, I've never asked for anything special.
Well, I acknowledge your gripe in the situation. I can acknowledge that. And I can see your fight, and I can see your reaction to it, and you voice it very clear. That has not been my personal experience. It has not been my professional experience. But I recognize what you're saying and what you feel and how you doubt and distrust and are angry, and you make it very clear. You state your case. You really do.
But it's things like this that do disappoint me, on top of this.
Oh, there's sure. Everybody has to be disappointed.
Well,
That it's out there.
And I don't want to change topics here, but everything that's going on with the Maryland basketball program, I mean, the word that keeps coming to mind for me, and this is, this ties in because I've talked to you a lot about what do we really put, faith isn't the right word, but in terms of what entities in society, what entities in life do we really
invest in?
Look for a moral compass.
Okay.
Look for something that we're going to invest in, morally, mentally, spiritually for some.
Something that aligns with our values and our...
But the word that I've come up with, and this isn't even Kevin Willard per se, but just disillusionment. I think about what I used to love about college sports, and let's be very clear. There was a naivete to that, understanding there are millions being made here. You have student athletes who are bringing in millions for these schools. Absolutely, no problem with them getting their fair share as far as what they're generating. But what we've come, what it's become in the opposite direction where there are no guardrails, I mean, it just, college sports to me, and specifically football and basketball, it just feels like minor league basketball and minor league football now where, don't get me wrong, I love minor league baseball. It's great to go to a game every now and then. Do I follow it? Do I invest time in it? I don't. And it just feels like, this idea where rosters are going to turn over. A coach is going to leave a power conference school to go to a Big East school where they don't have to share NIL money with football. I understand why Kevin Willard's leaving. How he handled it, I don't have a whole lot of respect for.
Right.
But just all of that, and this goes with the same thing with the Ravens or any team that acts in a way that disappoints us. We do have to fight that feeling of disillusionment. But also, as I get older, I'm more selective in what I really put my trust in and what I really look to as something to be a moral compass. Now, that doesn't mean that if someone acts poorly, if an entity behaves poorly, we shouldn't hold them accountable. But at the same time, I'm also going to recognize I'm not perfect. I can't recognize that entity to be perfect all the time. And sometimes it's as simple as I think about being a kid. In hindsight, my biggest heroes were my parents and my grandparents. But at the time, I idolized Cal Ripken. Now, I don't regret that in the way that, you think about a 10-year-old. And, I'd still like to think Cal was a very good athletic role model to have. But at the same time, I didn't know him personally. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what he would be doing away from sports. I struggle with it just like you do. But at the same time, I kind of take it for what it is, that it's entertainment, it's leisure, it's a way to spend your disposable income if you feel that if it's something that is worth it to you. And if an entity doesn't act in a way that makes it worth it to you, then it's your choice to not take part in that anymore. So, at some point in time, it's tough to try to hold to a higher standard, but also recognize that it is going to be imperfect, and we're going to have situations where things aren't handled perfectly, or maybe individuals who shouldn't be in positions of power are in power in many walks of life. But I don't know. That sense of disillusionment I'm really struggling with in college sports right now, and I think it, the conversation at least lends itself to what you're talking about, with
What are our expectations? I did my show, by the way, Luke is here. Mark Vivian, I got to get Viv out of here. We're at Fadley's. He's got kids to get home to. I had Papa Joe at Chevalier, who did radio with me at 101 Sports, and he was angry during baseball strikes. And he had a voice like this. He wanted to have a fan bill of rights. You know, and the fan Bill of Rights kind of 35 years later, I still hear his voice saying that. And I'm thinking to myself, what are we supposed to expect? And the other part is then don't invest in it. And that's the arrogance of them. If, hey, you don't like it, don't come to the games, right? Or don't you don't like it, true. Don't watch, right? Yeah. And that would be true. Nils Lofgren came on 2 years ago and said, if the Springsteen tickets are too much, then you're not going to come. Yeah. You know, it's simple as that. And somebody else have to take the ticket, and that's that. That's business in America. Mm-hmm. But the baseball part and the sports part for community, that's where my Baltimore positive kicks in, my Dundalk kicks in. My dad loved the Orioles because it said Baltimore on it. My dad loved the Colts because sure. it said Baltimore on it. And there was a part of that that they have really lost the short-sightedness of the value of community when the Jacksonville Jaguars play half their games on another continent, right? They're really – the Raiders have moved around so much that they're just – a team from outer space without a home, right? That, and the Yankees are so large, and Duke basketball and some of these entities. You mentioned EPL soccer, you know what I mean? These Manchester United's a worldwide global brand. I don't know how important they are to the smokestacks of Manchester anymore, right? And that's part of where it gets out in front of it, when we're giving civic money. By the way, enjoy the press box, dude. By the time Viv gets back to the press box, it'll be in left field, right? They're going to be moving the press box. Right?
I haven't seen the new football one either.
The Kevin Byrne little box? It's up in the corner.
I understand. That's okay. Yeah. These guys are adaptable.
I mean, this is
all. We have to be.
I remember having a conversation with someone 10 years ago. I said, I mean, this is prime real estate. Like, look, don't get me wrong. I love sitting here. I'll be disappointed when it's moved. I also am not naive enough to recognize that, you know, I'm only a small part of this. Yep. Now, you know, that's not to say there isn't an important place for media, but we also need to have some self-awareness and saying, yeah, this is their place, that it's a business for them, and this is prime real estate, and we can still do our job. Because the point you were making earlier, even sitting right behind home plate, I still can evaluate how a pitcher is really throwing the ball way better on TV than I can sitting in the press box. So, I mean, I even sound self-contradictory if I'm going to complain about it too much, but I will miss the view because it's a beautiful view.
Well, the last thing I'd say, Viv, is what good is the media if they're not going to answer the questions anyway? Well,
they're going to answer them on their time because they control the message now more than ever. And I think that can be a source of the frustration for those of us who want the answers now. They want it on our time. They're going to control it.
I just want them to be honest. That's really the issue for me. I want some integrity behind
sure,
that.
That's
been the disappointment for me.
That's a fair ask. And if when you get the answer you don't feel it's honest, then there's another question that should follow. And they should be held accountable if, in fact, that becomes the case. And then that's our job. That's our job for the people. They control the message, yet oftentimes the message has to pass through your microphone or used to be my microphone, and then it's left for us to distill what that is, how true it is, and present it in a manner that may offer more questions. It never ends, and that's okay.
We had a wild thing happen the other day that he and I talked about when they moved the opening day. They moved opening day back an hour.
Yeah.
And Luke's like, why do I need to send the text out? Every person that bought a ticket has a digital ticket. They have their email. They have their number. They're just going to directly hit them and say,
yeah, if it had been 3 hours, I would have sent it out because that drastically would have changed people's plans, but half an hour, it was kind of like, I think anyone that's going to really matter for was going to know.
But because they have, they're in touch with their customer, which is good for them.
Yeah. They should be.
They're very good. Mark Viviano's got children. He's got Little League. He's got crab cake take-home responsibilities here today. Luke Jones is going to stick around. Ron Cassie will be here from Baltimore Magazine. I'm looking forward to having Ron and Luke get together and talk a little baseball as well. Viv, I love you, man.
Once a year?
All these years.
Once a year, he loves.
Same time next year, you know?
Love me once a year, but I listen to you guys all the time.
Why?
Because you're different.
Because Luke's good.
You're different. I like to sample.
Nice contrast.
You guys are a great contrast, and I especially like Luke, if that matters to you.
I knew it. He'll like me when I get him the crab cakes.
The check's in the mail, Viv.
Luke's coming back. Viv is getting out of here. I'm sticking around. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Have the Magic 8-Ball scratch-offs. Have a handful of these. Once these are gone, Roz, send help. We're going to be at Costas next Friday, honoring the life of Mr. Costas. We're going to be at the Beaumont the week after that on the 18th, 17th. Don't quote me on this. We're going to be at Cooper's Pub on Wednesday the 23rd. Don't quote me on that. And the 30th, I know we're going to be at Coco's on the 30th as well. Jamie Costello's coming out. I'm getting all the washed up retired, hanging out, playing Little League, hanging
That's
with
it.
Their children.
Bring it.
You guys worked your ass off. You did all everywhere I was, you were, and all those years and more. Right? Once they let you in and didn't let me in. So the fact that you're off being happy when I see you on the internet. And why did everybody move to Anne Arundel County? You, Jamie, you're always happy on the internet with your children.
It's all good. Children, it's just a, it's the greatest blessing God has given me.
Amen.
It's the best.
Plug all your charities. Tell everybody how they can help you out on Tuesday morning feeding beautiful people in Baltimore.
All right. St. Casimir Church in Canton. Drop off lunches with, hey, bologna and cheese sandwich, chips, and a, and another
snack. Don't call it bologna. Call it mortadella.
Whatever you want to call it.
Make it sound better. You know?
And we gather them up, take them to Helping Up Mission and the beans and bread. At St. John the Evangelist in Severna Park, there is a food pantry there. Hey, if you need it, find food there. If you can donate, donate.
I talk
there.
About food insecurity all month in February, and it's such a – people give at Christmas, and then they forget. And people need food all year long. These food pantries need help, period. Maryland Food Bank.
Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Monday, May the 19th. Go to FCABaltimore.com. Get more information. That's their gala event.
What's up, Frank Kelly? Go ahead.
Frank Kelly will be there.
Did I get everything in? Casey Cares.
Casey Cares. Oh, the Casey Cares 5K at the zoo is coming up in August.
The zoo?
Yeah.
I'm having the zoo on today. I'm having Mike over from the zoo. We're going to talk about the Spring Lights Festival.
That's the place to do it, man.
We saw the leopard a couple weeks ago.
I think the Brigance race is also at the zoo. Don't quote me, but I think it is. That's a.
You take your niece to the zoo yet, dude?
I don't know.
No, you haven't.
I have not.
You're taking
I have
not. That's it. Luke's taking his niece. Nieces. He's got two. The little one won't remember, but Scarlett will be fine with. She afraid of animals?
Oh, she loves animals. She reminds me of my dad's mom, who was the biggest animal person ever.
Well, get over to the Maryland Zoo. Viv, support everything he's doing. He's one of the good. You're one of the good ones, Viv.
We're all good inside. We just got to let it out, right? Right, Luke?
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
Don't tell Katie Griggs that. I am Nestor. We're back here at Fadley's. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Luke's going to hang out and have crab cakes. Viv's going to take crab cakes home, and I'm going to be honored to send them. Back for more on Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.